Welcome to the Power User Podcast, where unprofessional podcasting sounds better. I'm your host, Kristen Hatcher, and this is our 21st episode. Power User TV turns 21 today. Joining me today is Derek Batting of Neowin.net. Hello, Derek.
Hello, Kristen. Hello, everybody.
Tom Chick of Quarter2Three.com. Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
And Brad Wardell of WinCustomize.com. Hello, Brad.
Can you believe we are already out of booze at StartOff? We are out of
what
booze.
What do you mean already? It lasted five whole minutes.
I know. I mean, I was looking in there to refill my glass, and it's gone. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're even supposed to do the show.
Well, that I think that's how.
I'm just leaving. Goodbye.
And he's gone. All right, so moving on.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, Brad.
Give me a beer, too, while you're up.
Yeah, really. I asked Tom to get me a chai latte earlier, but did he? No. No.
I'm sorry, I drank it. Yeah.
Where's my bagel?
Yeah. Tom. I know you're all the way in California. We're here in Michigan, but still.
Well, you know, during the holidays, it's hard to FedEx that stuff, but it's on its way.
That is so true. I should get it sometime at the end of January, right?
Exactly. You know, Speaking of gifts, I love... It's great this time of year because you get all these companies that send you goodies in the mail, and I finally got something good. I doubt even Tom got this. I got from Google. I don't know why they didn't say why they sent it. It just came in, but Google sent me this leather case, and inside the case is a USB hub, a memory stick, a some sort of USB extender device, a mouse, a Google Light that you hook to your USB, and a bunch of Google-based other doohickeys for your computer.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. It really makes me feel bad about the fact that I don't even know if we sent out cards to anyone.
I know why they sent that to you.
Why?
It's the contract. It's the substitute for the contract written in blood. You've accepted it. Yep. Now they own your soul.
Now that you've opened it, you've accepted the terms and agreements.
That's right.
Well, that would explain why the doors at the local Quickie Mart won't open when I walk up to them anymore.
Yes. Well, congratulations on that. I, of course, did not get one of those, but...
Neither did I.
And I cried.
I didn't either.
I cried when I saw yours.
We're just thinking 2 weeks we'll be at the CES in Las Vegas.
That's right.
And, okay, Kristen, you're going to have to bleep me here.
Yes, okay. As members of the press.
Yes.
Sorry. I feel so dirty, though. I mean, it's one thing for Kristen to go as a member of the press, but me as a member with a press badge, I mean, that's the seventh sign.
Yeah, I think it is, actually. Okay, I thought I saw the Four Horsemen this morning.
Here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. Here's the one that really burns my ass.
Mm.
Now, I'm on the panel here at Power User TV. Do I get to go and do the podcast for Microsoft's booth? No. And on top of that, I'm a supervisor at Neowin, and Steve Parker and Marcel will also be there in Vegas, and me, as a part of the crew at Neowin, do I get to be there? No. I have two reasons to be there.
Yeah, but they only want important people there.
Oh,
I really put that delicately.
Scream the dust speck. Oh, Brad, that was low.
I know.
Yeah, that hurt.
Hey, you want me to be nice, you boost me up. It's just, it's that simple.
I've seen you when you're drunk. You're not nice.
Yeah, you and your whole operation.
Yeah, you're just mean. All right.
The beatings are meant in the nicest way.
Right.
Beatings will continue until morale improves.
That's right. And yet, morale is not improving for some
reason.
Not
so much.
I thought we would start off with kind of an amusing little story here for the holidays, something to warm the very cockles of our hearts. An alleged child porn offender in Germany received a worm. He got some message on his computer saying... He got hit by the sober worm. He got some kind of message on his computer saying, an investigation is underway. Not specifying what the investigation is or anything. He got so freaked out, he went to the German police and turned himself in.
For child pornography.
For child pornography. I'm so glad.
Man, that is cool.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. I mean, usually your Germans are great at turning other people in, but...
Well, maybe somehow it rubbed off on him and he decided he'd better come clean. And, you know, maybe I have no idea what the legal system is like in Germany, of course, but maybe they'll go easier on him because he turned himself in. I don't know. But, yeah, there you have it. I just wanted to cover that in brief. A happy holiday story. There we go. Any other happy holiday stories, anybody? Or is it all just going to go downhill from here?
That's it. It's
okay.
All over.
All right.
I could go over all the candy we got.
Oh, God. So much sugar during the holidays. That's why
Kristen,
I'm losing energy
Kristen,
right now. What?
My tummy hurts. I think I ate too much chocolate
yeah.
and cookies and candy and sweets and...
And cakes and ice cream and pie.
I just discovered that when Brad eats Dove chocolate, his face puffs up.
Yeah, I'm allergic to Dove chocolate.
I thought that was fascinating.
And yet somebody gave you a whole bag. What do you think that says, Brad?
I don't know. The bag's gone now. I ate it all.
And I'm
even as I speak, my face is all swollen up.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Like watching a carnival trike. You're like, do it again, do it again.
Well, that's too bad, Brad. Well, if it comes to the point where you can't speak anymore, you just mute your microphone and we'll just cut you out of the rest of the show. All right?
Your
Deal?
Dream can finally come true.
That's right. Well, Google is apparently closing a $1 billion deal with AOL. What is the world coming to?
$1 billion?
Yeah, exactly. They're paying $1 billion for a 5% stake in America Online. Derek, do you have any information about this one?
Sure do.
All right.
They want to snatch it up before Microsoft gets in there. That's probably about their... Well, that's one
that's,
of, one of the,
that's probably the whole thing right there.
No, that's not the whole thing. Certainly
no.
not. But AOL is Google's biggest customer. During the first 9 months of the year, AOL accounted for about $429 million, or about 10% of Google's revenue. So there's a lot at stake there. There's a lot of money going back and forth.
It's kind of like...
They want their stake in there. They want their foot in there to ensure that AOL is going to push Google and not Microsoft's, MSN Search or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of like Microsoft, kept saying, "Oh, we're gonna take you down, Google." And finally, Google turned around and said, "Yeah, bring it on!" And it's just going after Microsoft where it hurts. I mean, This is definitely there's no way around it. Google is now starting to seriously react to threats from Microsoft in the marketplace. Yeah.
Google's saying, "I have $1 billion that says you won't."
Yeah.
It does seem, it's just in recent months that this Google-Microsoft thing has started to happen, but maybe it's just because I've started to pay attention to it. How long have they been rivals, would you guys say?
It really started to come to a head this year. 2005 was the big back and forth, because everything that Google came out with, Microsoft responded to, and publicly at that.
It's almost like Microsoft decided Google was going to be their competitor. It's like you almost imagine it in Steve Ballmer's office. There's a big wheel, right? And on the wheel are a bunch of dead competitors that they've already wiped out. We have WordPerfect and Lotus and Ashton Tate and Netscape. And so they go, all right, time to spin the wheel. And then it's on. Now it's on Google. Even though that Microsoft and Google could have been coexisted just fine, Microsoft almost seems to have a problem that no technology company other than them can exist. But I think this time Microsoft isn't the – Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates do not lead the same Microsoft they did back in the late 90s. I mean, it's – company is a lot slower, and I don't have a problem with Microsoft, but I mean, this is, if there's anyone listening for Microsoft, this criticism is constructive, and that is Microsoft is a lot more inept now than it was even 5 years ago. They're not as smart as they used to be, for lack of a better word, and Google is. I mean, like, have you seen Microsoft's, what is it called? It's not start.com.
No, just kidding.
No, not Vista. No, they have their one of their web initiatives, and I've already forgotten it, sadly. And they're just dumping, they're basically, Microsoft's strategy is, well, we'll go buy a bunch of stuff, and then we won't really care whether it's really needed or do very much with it. Microsoft Live.com. And it's just, in my mind, just a bunch of junk. And I mean, maybe others will disagree, but whereas Google's picking things with a lot of thought, I mean, like analytics.google.com is really well done. Gmail, of course, is really well done. And it's like Microsoft tries to just overwhelm their competitors with, well, here's 500 things, a lot of it that's crap. And Google responds with, well, we're not going to do as many things, but we're going to make sure everything that has a Google name on it is done right. And then one thing Microsoft used to be incredibly good at but seems to have completely gotten out of practice on is ISP relations. I mean, Google goes and woos developers and partners and really treats them well. I mean, you know, the joke about the Google goodies I got for Christmas, you know, aside, it's not like Microsoft's sending us anything, and we do a lot of stuff for Microsoft, you know, not to mention all the R&D, free R&D we do for them. I can tell you, though, back in the 90s, though, when they were competing with OS 2, Microsoft did all kinds of things to try to woo developers over, and they're not doing that nearly as much. Now, where they are strong is Microsoft's getting good at the community relations. I think Jed Rose over there at Microsoft has been incredible. I mean, if Microsoft had 10 Jed Roses, then Google would be in serious trouble. But he's focused on the various communities out there. He's not talking to software developers and that kind of thing in general. So I think Microsoft should have, you know, they're at the high up level. They're still the old Microsoft in that sense, where they're paranoid about any competitor, but they are not leading the same company that can execute on their competitive nature like they used to.
It may just be a function of the size that they are now. They can just no longer, you know, communicate as effectively internally as they used to be able to. And it's hard to keep track of all the different divisions and the different arms and the different locations that they have. So even with technology, hard to keep track of all that stuff.
It still kills me that Google stock's at $435.
Oh, I know. Why in the heck didn't I buy it?
Why don't they split?
Yeah, I don't know. That I can't tell you. I know very little about the market, which is exactly why I didn't buy Google stock.
I didn't buy Google stock either.
Yeah. Speaking of Microsoft, they have just released another preview version of Windows Vista, and they've apparently added a number of security features as well as performance and other user interface functions. Brad, have you seen this new version?
I have, and it is a significant enhancement over the previous builds.
Oh, great.
First of all, it is much faster. They've gotten the screen drawing, and especially the screen resizing down to where it's quite peppy, and I really very much like that. They do allow you to change the opacity and the color of the glass now, which I think a lot of people will really like, because as cool as a screenshot of Windows Vista is with the glass effect, and I know people with Windows Blinds 5 go crazy, oh, look, we want to make it have that glass effect. I think after a while, people go and like, okay, now I'm okay with, I'd like it to be blue or green or not be so glassy. And now you can do that with the new build.
Oh, that's good.
And it's just overall it does feel quite a bit peppier. I do like they've completely redone the way you deal with display properties and customizing the interface itself. And I mean the old display properties thing as you knew it is gone and it's been replaced with something a lot slicker looking. And apparently they brought in some well-known user interface designer and analyst to go over and try to clean up the UI. And I agree, Microsoft has good ideas on UI, but they don't seem to have a UI czar who's going through and making sure that the different parts are consistent. It's like they have these general guidelines, and each team interprets those guidelines on their own without some overall authority going through and saying, well, no, you need to do it like this.
Right, and he's apparently, I'm going to try and look up that story right now, but this user interface guy is not a graphic design guy, which was, you know, my first thought. He's actually, it's more like the psychology of the user interface, which is very interesting because, you know, people see things in certain ways. So why not capitalize on that? So Microsoft has actually taken a step, I think, in the right direction.
There is. But the problem is that Microsoft will eventually have to decide between aesthetics and usability. And because they often fight it out. Let me give you an example. Next time you look at a Windows Vista screenshot, notice the title bar buttons in the top right-hand corner. They do not occupy the entire title bar. Instead, they use up the top half of the title bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you we call them fatigue points when we do UI design. That's a lot of fatigue points because you have to be quite precise now with, I mean, power users don't care. To a casual user, that's a pretty small area for a button. They should really occupy more of the title bar. But they probably wouldn't look as pretty then.
I can't find that article about that guy, actually.
Well, we can put a link on the...
As soon as I find it. Yeah. Yeah, so we have to refer to him right now as that guy. Yes, so classy.
UI guy. UI guy. Yeah, he has a cape.
Yes, I'm sure he does. And like a logo that goes on his shirt. Well, look out, people. It is almost official. We need to start preparing now for the end. The end is coming February 18th, 2009. You guys ready for the end?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Derek, yes.
End of what?
The end of analog TV.
No.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay.
But don't get too excited. Mm-hmm. One of the things that people keep mistaking is that the end of analog TV means the era of high-definition TV.
Yes, that is not the case.
And that's not true. It just means it's digital now. 480i is technically a digital signal.
Yes.
All this is going to mean is your rabbit ears aren't going to do anything anymore.
No, your rabbit ears will still work. That doesn't. You can still get digital. You'll just your rabbit ears will have to connect to a converter.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't just slap your ears on there and get, your local station.
Well, you will be. You can still do that. That doesn't affect... Analog doesn't mean... You can do digital over the air, over the airway.
Right, but you can't receive the signal without that converter.
Well, without something that's, takes it in and turns it into digital, yeah.
Right, right.
But the signal can still be digital. You can have... we can be on... Obviously, your internet signal is always digital, right? And, if you have a cell phone, assuming most people are using digital based carriers for their cell phones, and that's obviously over the air.
Right. But what Derek is just saying is that the way you
all your
it
old
now,
TVs will cease working.
Yes.
It's basically that's the scary part.
Right. Right. And I'm sure it won't be long before people start, because they're already talking about government vouchers for people in low income situations, so they can actually afford to buy these converters.
Yeah, boohoo.
So, well,
Well, I mean, not again. I'm just saying, 2009.
2009. Okay. That's true. But
and right now, 2005. It is not easy to find analog TV. I mean, I'm sure they still sell them, but generally speaking, you can get a digital TV relatively cheap. Well, I'm not talking high def. I'm talking digital for crappy 480i.
Yeah,
but,
I hear you.
So, I mean. Maybe there are. I'm sure there will be TVs out there. I know. I hate to say it. I grew up poor, so we had a black and white TV from like the 50s when I was growing up for quite a while.
Yeah, I remember having a black and white TV. But congressional estimates right now, they think that currently less than 15% of households rely exclusively on analog broadcasts. Just stick the rabbit ears on there and see whatever you can get. And they think by 2009 that will drop to 7%. However, the people, that 7% are people who, they're probably not listening to this podcast. They're probably, the elderly or, people who perhaps don't care to keep up with the new technology. They're, not concerned. They're not reading up on these topics. So, it's just something that they have so they can catch the local news and move on, So there might be a few people, not many, but a few that are
surprised. That converter box will only cost $50 by 2009?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, hopefully everybody can afford that. But if not, apparently they're already talking about government subsidies for that. And we had some excitement around the office this week.
Did we?
Yes, we did. It's not terribly exciting, but, I take what I can get in my boring life. Brad, do you want to take this one?
Is this the window blinds crack?
Window blinds, yes. Window blinds.
Where's people?
Crack, yes.
Window blinds 5 came out in November, and it has product activation. That is, when you buy the product, you get a serial number. You have to type in the serial number, and then it registers with our server to make sure it's a valid serial number. And it has worked incredibly well. And I know that I've been almost afraid to talk about this because you almost can hear Tom Chick going, "Ah, ha, you hypocrite." Because I have been very vocal on how I don't believe that copy protection works. And that basically I have maintained this position that copy protection is a waste of time because the people who pirate software would simply have not have purchased your product anyway. So why inconvenience legitimate customers? But activation provides a nice third way in that you're really not inconveniencing customers, in the case of window blinds, because you have to buy it online. I mean, it's not at the store. You're putting your number, talk to our server, make sure that, you know, 5,000 people from the same place have done it. But we put in a bunch of redundant checks for it, and we made the basic way to activation thing. We put it in plain. If you were to run through a debugger, the activation is in the clear, so to speak. So we made it so it'd be relatively easy to crack. You know, if someone did. And sure enough, someone did, despite how easy it was to crack. I mean, we weren't trying to make it too easy, but we wanted people not to go through and find all the other ways that we had put in there, all the other redundant checks. So it got cracked, and how they cracked it is they simply nulled out a bunch of memory in there, and basically an entire function, and then made it jump past that. Well, when one of the first redundant checks came up this month, all those people who were running the crack, suddenly WindowBlinds was not working. And WindowBlinds is a program that changes the look and feel of your user interface. It's system-wide. This isn't like Photoshop where, okay, Photoshop doesn't work, you can't load it. If this thing's supposed to be skinning your entire screen and suddenly this sort of thing happens, you get black title bars and basically get a blank bitmap put on everything. So last weekend, people came in and started screaming about, hey, my title bars are black, yada, yada, yada. And it turned out, well, yeah, it's because they're running the crack. And it was interesting because you had all these people blaming us for their computer problems, as if we somehow had a if crack sabotage their computer type thing, when in fact it was a crack that, you know, patched out the stuff that it needed. And there is a lot of people with righteous moral indignation at us, the people who had stolen software, committed a felony, talking about, even some people were talking about filing a lawsuit and yeah, all kinds of stuff. It was amazing. And then people, of course, went on and said, mimicking my own words and saying, you know, this sort of thing doesn't do anything for sales. And a couple of people saying, I'm never going to buy a Stardock product, yada, yada, yada. The upshot is that weekend, WindowBlinds sold more copies than it did on the day it launched.
Yeah.
We actually got the day that patch stopped working was the day we had an incredible sales day. So which kind of bottom line on that is that copy protection does work. It does help sales. So that's was quite an eye opener. Of course, it didn't take long for people to say, "Hey, wait, look, there's another crack, and it keeps this from working." Which you wonder, well, guys, I mean, the first one was easy. You can imagine what's going to happen in another few weeks or whatever.
Right.
Because there's only one of the redundant ones is literally a date check. The first one was literally a date check, which was very easy to solve. But there's a lot of other ones in there that are a lot harder to find or encrypted in the code. And you can almost imagine another couple of weeks, people are going to start, will come in like, oh, my computer's blue screening or whatever. Not because of us. I want to be clear on that. We do not have a thing where if such and such, then blue screen, because we can't predict how a patch is going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're patching out code in a system wide application like this, it's not a good idea. It's just you're playing with fire. And even as people were just finally getting their machines back and running by getting this stuff off, they're off running to see if they can get the next crack. So it's kind of ironic.
Yeah, there are some people out there who feel it's their moral duty to not purchase any software. I don't know why that is, because they want to run the software. But
right, they want the software. And, I mean, we're talking about a $20 program. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really hard to feel like, well, I can't afford it. It's like, how much is your – these are people who almost always manage to have high-speed internet connections. And contrary to what we – because we got a good dose of who these people were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, assuming they didn't all lie on their which a lot of them might have, but we're not talking about 14-year-olds. A lot of these guys were college students or in their mid-20s, and some were, you know, well older than that. It's like, well, come on, it's a $20 program. And then someone will say, well, you don't WindowBlinds, you don't really need it. It's like, well, if you don't need it, then you don't need to pirate it either.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't need it, then what is the problem that it stopped running? You know?
Yeah. Well, it created a discussion here on because Galactic Civilizations, which we're going to retail with, is not going to have any copy protection in it. We're not even going to have
in
we're not
US.
Even going to do a serial number check.
So yeah, piracy rears its ugly head again, but this time we did our best to fight back in a very benign way.
And it was very benign, and it was amazing how people freaked out, like they have some sort of entitlement to It's not right. We're supposed to just sit there and take it. They're lucky, you know, we didn't do something mean. We could have done all kinds. We could have done a thing where it sent, we don't do this. I want to make it clear, because every time I made it would say online, hey, you know, it could have done this. They go, are you saying that you're formatting our computers? Like, no, I'm not saying that.
Right.
But we could have, for example, had to email the police, or at least us, or some authority, the information on their computer.
Thank you for the information on the Window Blinds 5 crack brouhaha, we'll call it.